It's amazing how many people will sing that and say that and yet not believe it. My glory, all the cross. For many, the cross of Christ is but a footnote, something you touch, touchstone. But for those that are taught of the Lord, when He by His Spirit shows us our sinful self, and it says there, my only shame, then that makes the cross of Christ all the more glorious. And that's what we're going to be looking at again in the message tonight, the sufferings of Christ typified. But before we do that, let's take our Bibles and read together from Hebrews chapter 5. As the Lord directs, I always endeavor to find a reading, make some comments that will prepare our hearts for the preaching. I liken the reading of the Word to the softening up, the turning up of the foul ground of our hearts. If you just leave ground fallow over a certain period of time, it hardens. And before you sow the seed, it takes plowing it up. It doesn't take a day for our hearts to become hardened. That's the amazing thing. We think, well, I was fed today in the Word this morning, thank God, and I'm good. And you don't get 100 yards down the road and suddenly you begin to sense a coldness, a hardness. Even the Word that you rejoiced in goes away. It's like birds coming and taking it away. And it takes the Lord again by His Word, again and again, how we need it. So that's my prayer, that the Lord is so blessed. But here in Hebrews 5, it says, for every priest taken from among men is ordained for men in things pertaining to God. Just that one statement right there shows why God established priests in the Old Testament. They were representatives for men before God in things pertaining to God. Now, they were there not for any goodness in themselves or righteousness in themselves, but as pictures and types of what Christ Himself, the high priest, would be fully, freely, finally before God for those people, sinners that the Lord gave him, God gave him. And it says here that He may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sins. This thing of salvation is not an individualistic running into the presence of God and dealing with my sin. It never has been. I know that's the way I was raised, to believe that somehow I had to reckon for my sins myself, whether through prayer or confession or whatever, before the Lord. But that, when you read in the Old Testament, it wasn't the people running in and out of that sanctuary. It was the priests that went in on their behalf. Representation is so vital to see in this matter of salvation. Either we have a representative before God who has stood in our place and offered, here it says gifts and sacrifices, because those had to be continual until Christ the Lamb came. And now His one sacrifice, that's the difference, you see. One offering, one gift of Himself satisfied God's law and justice forever. All the rest were just types and pictures, you see, but His, the real. And that's really what it's building up to here in Hebrews 5. Who can have compassion on the ignorant. That word compassion is really the word forbearance. Can have restrained or measured forbearance on the ignorant, those that are not even mindful of their own sins, and on them that are out of the way. That's what sheep do. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way, out of the way. For that he himself also is compassed with infirmity, encircled with infirmity. This is describing here the Old Testament priests. If you wonder why that system stopped, it's because it never could put away sin. It was a covering. That's why you don't find in the New Testament the word atonement. I think there's one reference with regard to Christ's death in Romans 5, but there it should be reconciliation. I don't know why the translators put atonement. Everywhere you see atonement in Scripture, it's Old Testament. Everything pertaining to Christ and His sacrifice is reconciliation, propitiation, redemption, justification, sanctification, all accomplished there at the cross. That's where it happened. And there, verse 3, by reason hereof, he ought, as for the people, see, this is the difference, it's contrasting, priests of the Old Testament, so also for himself to offer for sins. These priests of the Old Testament, they were sinful. Christ never. He bore the sin, but he was never made to be a sinner. Okay? No man taketh this honor unto himself, but he that is called of God, as was Aaron. So also Christ glorified not himself to be made a high priest, but he that said unto him, Thou art my son, today have I begotten thee. And as we've seen already, that particular statement, have I begotten thee, refers to his resurrection. So complete would be the work of Christ when he finished, that when raised from the grave, that was to be begotten, the only begotten Son of God. It's not talking about having been created, but it's talking about the work finished. That's why he's called here the begotten Son. Thou art my Son today. It's talking about the day of his accomplishing that work of salvation. And so complete was that work, when it was finished, there remained nothing but righteousness for God the Father to put to the account of everyone for whom he paid the debt. I had someone arguing this week, said, well, you're telling me that you were justified before you were ever born? Yep. Because if it didn't happen at the cross, it didn't happen. It's certainly not going to happen when I think I believed. I love the fact that when the Spirit opened my heart, caused me to see that work was finished, that work was accomplished, you see. But that's not a glory that Christ took to himself, but his Father, when it says, Thou art my Son, this is a covenant between the Father and the Son. Just like we're seeing in Samuel, the covenant between David and Jonathan. And it says there, as he saith also in another place. And again, it shows a disconnection from the Old Testament priesthood, because here it says, Thou art a priest forever after the order of, not Aaron. He wasn't of the line of Aaron. Just like Christ was not born of the seed of Adam. Because had he been born of Adam's seed, he would have been a sinner. Seed of the woman. A woman doesn't even have a seed. That's the man. But that was how God purposed this should be accomplished. Just like here. Another order, so no one could confuse that Aaron's went away for a reason. It could not satisfy. And you go back and look up Melchizedek, and you're thinking, well, we don't even know where he came from. That's good. Neither parent can't tell. That's good. Because it represents that Christ, without beginning, Melchizedek, King of Righteousness, the name means he's the one who came and accomplished that work of righteousness. And it says, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death. Not save him from death in the sense that he would not go to the cross, but save him through death. In other words, having fulfilled it, accomplished it, now to rise again. And was heard in that he feared. See, that shows God's representation. If he paid my debt, I don't have to worry about God hearing me, because he heard him. And hearing him, it's on my behalf. That's good news to me. To hear that, I never tire of hearing it. Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. And that's what we're going to be seeing in Samuel, the sufferings of Christ typified there. But there was a real suffering. There was a real temptation. There was a real going through this learning obedience. Christ had to learn it. He earned it. He established it. And so complete that when he finished it, God put it to the account of everyone that Christ came to save. Because it says there in verse 9, being made perfect, he what? Became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. You say, well, I thought salvation was from eternity. It's purpose from eternity. But it had to be worked out into flesh. You do away with that, you've done away with the gospel. The gospel is not just simply God purposing it, but Christ earning it, being made perfect. The word perfect means complete. Christ did not give up his spirit to his Father there on the cross until all that was written of him was fulfilled. And when he said, "It is finished," believe it, it was finished. Well, that's good news to me. It's finished. I don't care how great the debt, you keep going back by the bank and checking and saying, make sure, was this debt really eradicated? There's not, your name's not even on the books. Another has taken that place. That's good news. Called of God, a high priest, there it is again, after the order of Melchizedek. You won't find any order of Melchizedek down through the history of the Old Testament. It goes from when he met Abraham and blessed Abraham, then a huge gap all the way to the cross. And all of a sudden we see, here's the order. Where's that been? Well, it's been in types and pictures, but now the fulfillment in Christ. Of whom, verse 11, we have many things to say and hard to be uttered. Now here's an interesting statement if we look at it. People that have a problem with this as being the gospel, is it because it is really that difficult to say that sin was put to Christ's account and his righteousness put the account of his people? It takes me less than 30 seconds to declare that. And that's the gospel. So what's the problem? Well, it says so right here, seeing ye are dull of hearing. And I'll tell you, unless the Spirit gives us ears to hear, we would be continually of that number. We still have to be taught. The things that are hard to be uttered, it's because we're dull of hearing. It's like Christ said to his disciples, I have many things to say to you, but I can't say them now. They couldn't bear them. If Christ were in any way, God were by his Spirit to reveal Christ in all his glory to any one of us at one time, all together, it would destroy us. We couldn't, it'd be like the sun just suddenly impacting our entire being, and we couldn't hold it. This flesh couldn't. That's why we continue to learn as the Spirit is pleased to teach us. For the time ye ought to be teachers. Here it gets back to these Hebrews. That's who the writer is writing to. Ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. Starting over again, ABC. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful. That word literally means to be without the experience of grace. Unskillful in the word of righteousness. Put capital W-O-R-D there. The word of righteousness is Christ, the righteous one. So when you find people that prefer to read this book and skirt around and talk about subjects and other things and not stay on point as to this word being of Christ and him crucified, there's only one thing you can say about them: without the experience of grace. They boast of grace, but that's not how grace manifests itself. Where God, by his Spirit of grace, reveals Christ, there's a hungering and thirsting after him, to know of him, to grow in him, and to see him and his work accomplished. That's all my glory. That's what Paul said. God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, to whom He said, I'm crucified to the world and the world to me. You won't have a fight over the cross with people who have been taught by the Spirit of God, His grace. You won't. But where you see a fight, that means there's still that dullness of hearing, that hard. It's hard to utter these things that are a glory to people that are taught the Lord. It's hard to utter them because people are always interrupting you. Have you ever noticed that? You can never just get to where, can't we just rejoice in Christ and rest in Christ? No. Because they have a fight. But that's for those that are still yet to be taught. Now, they may be the Lord's. If the Lord bought them, He's going to draw them. But at that point, you can say that there's still blindness. There's still dullness of hearing. Deafness is what that means. But strong meat. What's strong meat? But that which, as you continue to look at the things of Christ in the Scriptures, the Lord is pleased to unfold it and give you more. And we're not walking around with little baby bottles in our mouths, although there's nutrition in milk. But where there's growth, there's that strong meat, the doctrine of Christ, not doctrines, but doctrine of Christ, belongeth to them that are full age, mature, even those who by reason of use. In other words, you continue to feed on Him, on Christ. He is that meat. His blood is that drink. That's the blood and righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. By reason of use, have their senses exercised to discern both good, that means truth, and evil, that means error, falsehood, the difference. You know, if you've got an ear for piano, it doesn't take long to figure out someone's not playing on key. I mean, I'm not an expert, but I can tell sometimes it's like, whoa, will you stop playing? Because it's something's wrong. It's either the way they're playing it or the piano's off, but something's wrong. That's a person who has an ear. But I've got friends that don't have an ear. And I mean, they could be singing off tune, you wouldn't know. They wouldn't know it. They don't have an ear. And this is what this is talking about here. Who by reason of use, in other words, the more we hear of Christ, the more the Spirit tunes these ears. It's like one lady used to tell me, every time she heard me preach, she said, I love that middle C. It's all about Christ. That's a rejoicing, but that's the discernment that the Spirit gives between to discern both good, what's good, but all that gives glory to Christ, and what's evil, but anything, you don't even have to be against it, just to, you know, indifference is evil to the things of Christ and His death. And that's what we see here. All right, let's look to the Lord. Gracious Father, thank You for Your word. I pray that You would take what we've heard and bless it to our hearing and our understanding, that the fallow ground of these hearts be churned up and the seed sown once again of Your blessed Son and His finished work there at Calvary. Oh, to have eyes to see Him. And so I pray, Lord, that You grant according to Your will and purpose and grace. And we're mindful to give You the praise, honor, and glory in our dear Savior's name. Amen.